such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed.
Heaven
will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. Hi, Tony and Christina. Armin on the other side
Armin's
of the
gonna
curtain
kill us.
There.
What's welcome.
Armin's going to kill us.
Why?
Why?
Because I took a sip of the coffee?
Well, because we were all talking during the intro.
Were we talking?
Well, not really talking, but we all said something. I think it was
we were?
I did. I heard it. I'm sorry. Maybe it was just me. I take full responsibility, Armin.
Well, I saw him give us that dirty look, but I thought it was because I took a slurp of the coffee and I realized, you know, it was...
Well, thank God I wasn't my...
Did you hear that, Armin?
Thank God I wasn't my usual self.
Armin hears everything.
Whatever. Well, it's Christmas, you know. Well, it's not quite yet, but it's getting there.
Wow
is right.
Yeah.
Like 2 days away? 3 days away?
I can't believe it is Christmas.
Their dirty look was only because of caffeine envy, okay?
Oh!
I should have brought you an espresso. He likes espresso. I should have brought him that. Yeah, I realized when I took a slurp of that because it is, and I don't slurp my coffee
anyway.
But I don't know why I did that.
On a live mic.
Well, anyway, yeah, this is the shortest Advent we've ever had because we have the fourth Sunday of Advent, Sunday, the day after tomorrow, and then Sunday evening we begin already
Christmas.
The Christmas season begins.
Time flies.
Which will be good because it's Sunday Mass, then Midnight Mass, and then Mass again.
Masses for me. So it'll be 12 Masses in 48 hours.
The marathon. The marathon of Masses.
Yeah. The hardest thing is getting up. Well, I never really get to sleep, you know,
exactly. After
Midnight Mass. But we keep the Midnight Mass because I just love it.
It is beautiful.
It's worth
very
the sacrifice.
Mystical.
Yeah.
What time will be the Midnight Mass?
Midnight Mass is going to be at 12 o'clock. You know?
Okay.
How many people call? You remember, Christina? What time is your Midnight Mass?
I used to tell them 12 p.m.
So is that p.m. or a.m.?
No, it's a.m. But
it's a.m.
But people, p.m. is at night.
Right.
Well, it's 12 p.m.
Now, the problem is many, many parishes, I would dare to say most parishes don't have a Midnight Mass.
No. They move it to
8 o'clock
or even 10.
Yeah. But we keep tradition here. You know, we're traditional Catholics.
And there is the Christmas, sorry,
no,
Tony.
No, that's okay.
The Christmas carols are at what time? At
11:30,
right?
11:30, yeah. So we have, for those who want to come this way, and I invite all of you to come, we have our first Mass on... Well, let's just say the Sunday Mass, 7 o'clock a.m. is in English. And by the way, we're getting a lot of people to that English Mass. You know, it's I think it's because some people really want a really early morning Mass, and that's early. When we change from the 7:30 to the 7, you can't imagine how what that change was like for me. I'm not ready to talk that early in the morning. I'm wide awake. I'm up at 4:30.
And do you sing in the morning, Father?
Once in a blue moon, whatever that means, a blue moon. But I do once in a blue moon. But most of the time, I do not, because I, you know how I am about singing.
It's hard to sing in the morning because the voice is still it's hoarse.
Well, you know, you're a singer and.
But that half an hour makes a difference.
I think you should actually do us a favor and come at the 7 o'clock and sing for us at 7 a.m.
There's no music.
No, we have had the great guy Victor.
Victor sings.
Been singing during Advent, playing and singing. He's great. So he did this for us through Advent through and then Christmas. Other than that, we have really a very low mass, quiet. And I do like that because that's the evening masses. Weekday evening masses are quiet and they're very contemplative. It's very
it is beautiful.
But.
Maybe one day I'll surprise you, Father.
Maybe. That would be a surprise.
Because you know me, I'm not a morning person.
That's when who really is a morning? Well, some people are.
Some people are. I'm not.
I would say that I most definitely I am if I'm not, if I don't have to talk. But so I like early morning. Mm-hmm. If I'm beyond 7 o'clock, I would not be. In other words, I'm always. But 5 o'clock, 5:30.
That can be, Father, because you love to talk.
Yeah, I talk too much.
You have
to. Yeah, I have to.
It's part of your job.
Have no choice. But that's a problem. But anyway, 7 o'clock we have the English, 8:30 Polish, 10 o'clock English, 12 o'clock Spanish. We will have confessions. I will have confessions as always on Sunday until 3 o'clock after the Spanish Mass, and then again at 4:30 until the Spanish. 5:30 mass, and then we have the midnight mass, and then Christmas Day we keep the same schedule. But and that'll be this week for Christmas and for New Year's. So a lot of people like to just bring the New Year's in a very quiet way, and it's very beautiful. It really is nice.
You can hear the fireworks.
Sometimes we have music, sometimes we don't. You know, because it's hard to get people to come out and sing on for midnight mass
on
New Year's, Christmas, it's different. So,
I mean, there's something about it when it's. And don't get me wrong, I do love the singing, but when it's silent, it's so much beautiful.
I love the silence. I absolutely love the silence.
Yeah.
Let's pray, and then we'll. I want to go back to the third Sunday, Gaudete Sunday, and then I think I'd like to read Barrington Bunny. You know,
today.
Yeah, I kind of like to.
I'm prepared for that, Father.
Huh. I
enjoy those stories.
I did that
stories.
With the eighth graders yesterday.
Yeah.
We had some stories. And I'm not going to get into the whole, you know, blessing.
Yeah.
Oh, good. No,
all this kind
of
stuff.
I got my, for my eyes.
Yeah, right.
For your dry eyes?
For my dry eyes.
So there's been a lot of controversy over the document on
the blessing.
As it's been reported in all the news networks, blessings of same-sex marriages and all that, but or same-sex unions, I should say. But one has to read the whole document. But it does create a lot of controversy, a lot of confusion, a lot of division. But one has to read that nothing has really changed. But we're just living in a strange time,
strange world.
You know. Anyway, we'll come back. We'll come back to that some other day because I got to really decipher.
Let's do that
all
next
this.
Year.
Yeah,
next year, the year after.
Exactly,
it's not even worth talking about.
It's
I'm
not,
sorry.
It's
Christmas is coming.
So let's pray, which is the best thing we can do. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel. May by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Jesus,
I trust in you.
Jesus,
I trust in you.
Jesus,
I trust in you.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States of America and the whole world to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us. Touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country, grant the world, the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which we must live our lives, and that he alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Michael, the Archangel,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to take a break. We'll come back and then go back to Gaudete Sunday, and then kind of swing into, well, we're in the O Antiphon, the 7 days leading up to Christmas, and then I'd like to maybe read the beautiful story. It is a beautiful story, Barrington Bunny, because it's a very, very, very real Christmas story, kind of a little bit of a parable, seemingly for our children, if you, when you say Barrington Bunny, but it's really, you know, brings adults to ponder, you know, the why of life and what the meaning, the purpose, and the why of the incarnation and the Paschal mystery. So we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright.
Oh, hello, elves.
Hello, Santa.
Why are you singing?
Santa, we're practicing to sing on the Winds of Change Christmas program.
You silly elf. Winds of Change will be featuring the Christmas music of the Daughters of St. Paul.
Santa, can I sing with them?
You silly elf. Would you like to get a lump of coal in your stocking? On Monday, December 25th, Christmas Day, from noon until 1, enjoy the Christmas music of the Daughters of St. Paul on Winds of Change on AM 750.
I would be really happy to sing.
You are a silly elf.
Welcome to a St. Nicholas Minute. Do you know how St. Nicholas became known as the defender of innocent human life? Well, when I was still Bishop of Myra, some townspeople begged me to stop the execution of 3 innocent men unjustly sentenced to death. With no time to lose, I rushed to the place where the first of the 3 men was about to be beheaded. Stepping forward, I grabbed the sword from the executioner's hands and threw it to the ground. Filled with fear, the corrupt judge fell to his knees and confessed he had taken a bribe in return for the death sentences. And the 3 innocent men were set free. Since then, I'm known as the defender of innocent human life. May this holy season make us truly grateful for the gift of every human life created in God's own image, as we proclaim, Christ is born. Glorify him.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we come to the end of the Christmas, end of the Advent season. This, it went so fast because it was a very short this year. But I want to go back. First of all, you know, last week we celebrated the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and before that, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And there's no doubt that Advent and the season of Christmas are uniquely seasons of the Blessed Virgin Mary, her very prominent and wholly unique role in the Incarnation, and Incarnation meaning God's visitation to us in the flesh of our humanity. Her unique role goes without question. As I've said so often, the Blessed Virgin is not frozen in the pages of sacred scripture, but alongside her son, she's ever present in our midst. So last Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent, we call it, it's called Gaudete Sunday, which means rejoice, and that's why we wear the rose-colored vestments and light the rose-colored lamp or the candle. Let me just say that in this day and time, it's not easy to sustain joy. We are rightfully and justifiably enduring a time of unrest, and truly the peace and tranquility of our faith is disturbed and put to the test for a wide variety of reasons and a wide variety of ways. Many feel a purely humanistic approach to the faith in the absence of docility to the supernatural or the mystical reality of the church as a cause of an unprecedented exodus away from the church in the face of a great apostasy. And so as a result, our joy is challenged. And again, all you have to do is listen, you know, on a day-to-day basis to people, you know, truly listen to them, get out of your bubble, and listen to what people are saying, that they need to be heard. I want to share with you a dream that I had many years ago. In fact, I'm thinking this was probably going back 20 years, maybe a little bit more than 20 years ago. And it's recorded in my book, A Mother's Plea, Lifting the Veil in Sanctuary. And this all comes after the consecration of the parish to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the story of our sanctuary really begins to unfold. But in the dream, I was walking to Mass through this very hilly, rugged, weedy terrain. It was night. I could see a small chapel off in the distance, looking a little shabby, a little bit shabby, and lonely as it stood all alone on one of the hills. There was no evidence that anyone was in the chapel. It's completely empty. No lights were burning. The little chapel looked as though it had been abandoned for years. And as I walked, I became aware of the presence of evil. My reflective walk quickened to a pace that was propelled by the adrenaline beginning to rush through my veins. I turned around, and four thugs were running rapidly toward me. Looking forward, I felt fear begin to surge as I now stepped into a gallop that would never be. Why? Because I was pounced on. And with force, I was thrown to the ground, the four thugs on top of me. But in an instant, I felt the pressure lift. As quickly as the four thugs came, with the same swiftness, they left. The foreboding evil that had enveloped the scene seemed to evaporate immediately. And surprisingly, my body felt no pain whatsoever. Lying there face down as though dead, I drew my hands under my chest and pressed them to the ground as leverage. And then I pushed my torso up and raised my head slightly. And as I looked forward, the rugged and weedy terrain appeared to have been completely transformed into a beautiful landscape of hills of various sizes and shapes, sprinkled with an assortment of trees of every shade of green. It was still night, but the night's darkness was bathed in a radiant light. Small houses were scattered throughout that looked like, you know, these cottages painted into a child's book of fairy tales. The peace I had was quite a contrast to the previously felt evil. And there were children at play, peacefully at play, and as I looked to my right, I saw young men playing touch football. I turned my gaze toward the night sky, only to behold the heavens opened. The Blessed Virgin Mary appeared, surrounded by the brightness of a dazzling light that made it almost impossible to see her. She descended suddenly and swiftly, her whole presence embracing the landscape. Instantly, though, I sensed the return of evil's fury. My eyes were drawn upward to the place from where Our Lady had come, and a dragon lunged forward from nowhere, but was detained by a net of some sort, making it impossible to disturb or disrupt the beauty and the peace that lay before me. That was the dream. And I think the dream speaks for itself. You know, even 20 years later, I think it makes more sense now than it did even then. Again, for a wide variety of reasons and ways. But there are voices. If you recall the gospel on Sunday, it was John the Baptist crying out in the wilderness. There are voices, much like the voice of John the Baptist, crying out in the wilderness. And those voices are heard from heaven and heard from those of us, I say those of us, in all humility, those of us in the struggles of the here and now of our current reality. We have to live our prophetic mission, our prophetic office, all of us, by virtue of baptism. You know, read the signs of the times and lean into Christ, cleave to Him, push against the wind, swim against the current, be firm in truth. In truth, we're strangers in a foreign land. And in other words, we've got to make the way of the Lord ready, as St. John said. Make that this is the whole theme that runs through the season of Advent, right? make yourselves ready for the Lord's coming. And let's get rid of the clutter and falsehood and the sin. And that means, you know, it requires of all of us a humility to admit that, you know, as collectively speaking, we've really gone astray. And I say in humility, we have to admit that. Humility is the antithesis of pride. You know, for our part, we heed the words of St. Paul, as we heard last Sunday, because he says, you know, in spite of all this stuff that's going on, and again, I'll let you figure that out, you know. You're all living in reality, I would hope. Just you look around, you decide, you determine what's amiss. How do we identify a diabolical disorientation? What constitutes this disorientation, this disorder, this confusion, this chaos, the divisiveness, the polarization in our nation, in the church? Where is it coming from? You know, so everybody can decide that for themselves, I think, don't you think? Without going into all the details. But in any case, if we're and yes, there's a time and place to speak. I have to speak as a priest. I have an obligation to speak to the truth. But are we bothered by what's happening? Of course. Why would we not be? And if we're listening to people, and we know what they're going through, and especially, you know, to parents who are trying to raise their children up against the powers and principalities that perpetuate or perpetrate confusion and chaos and toy with the mind, the body, the soul, the health of their children. Again, I hear this all the time. And these aren't, you know, people who are rigid or living on the margins, being pushed to the margin. But they're people who are just trying to, you know, navigate through life and get on with life and put bread on the table and raise their children according to the teachings of the church, following the gospel message. These aren't hateful, bigoted people that are living all kinds of phobias. These are people who truly love God. And want their children. They have a concern for their children's current well-being, their well-being well into the future, and they want them to be good citizens of the land, and they have a concern for their children's salvation. And you feel the powers and principalities militating against the good they're trying to do. So, but in the midst of this battle that is ever present, ever felt, and we're in the trenches, trying to fight the good fight, St. Paul says, what does he say? What did he say? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. Test everything. Retain what is good. Refrain from every kind of evil. May the God of peace make you perfectly holy, and may you entirely, spirit, soul, and body, be preserved blameless for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a challenge, isn't it, really? To maintain joy. The only way to do so, and as he says, you got to pray unceasingly. I mean, if there's ever a time, and I tell families this all the time, you know, and I'll ask anybody who comes to me, we just had children's confessions last week, but I always ask, you know, do you pray? How do you pray? You know, because prayer is indispensable to our lives as followers of Christ, because prayer is what? But to nurture intimacy with the Lord. So we offer prayers of supplication. We pray for the needs of others, and we pray for the world. But we need to pray, you know, that we are disposed and receptive, and we have that humility, allowing the potter to mold the clay of our lives, to really form us into the people he wants us to be, to come away from sin. We pray for the strength to come away from bad habits, to create within our lives and therefore help in the lives of others to have a discipline, order. We want to contribute to the proper ordering of society, because God is a God of order, law and order. His greatest attribute is mercy. We can never not speak about the mercy of God, and that that mercy be reflected in our lives, but without, or certainly not at the expense of law and order. God's greatest attribute is mercy. His love is incomprehensible. And I don't think it's heretical to say this. I've said it many times, but God is all-powerful. That's a fact. Omniscient, omnipresent. But there's one power he doesn't have. He does not have the power not to love us. Is that heresy?
No.
He's all-powerful, but he doesn't have the power not to love us. But love requires a response, a response. And he is, as I've said many, many times, God is not a permissive God. Scripture says, as he says of himself, I'm a demanding God. He holds us to a very high standard, and thank God for that. Because if we were, you take the city of Chicago, if every Christian, every baptized Christian in the city of Chicago were to take seriously their faith, and have a great sensitivity to the commandments of God, which were not abrogated in any way whatsoever. Jesus in the gospel even, well, let me repeat, you know, from the Old Testament, from the Torah, you know, the commandments were given, love the law, fulfill the law, obey the law, drill this law into your children, Write it on the doorpost, on your forehead, on your wrist. Think about this law during the day, during the night, when awake, when asleep. And you will prove yourselves to be a wise, intelligent, graceful, noble, knowledgeable people. And you'll be the envy of others who will wonder who are these people and who are their God? Who is their God? You know, and Jesus in the gospel, he opens the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes, and immediately after that, he says, don't think I've come to abrogate the law. He's referring to the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, to do away with the Ten Commandments. He says, he even says in Matthew's Gospel, he says, not even a period, not a comma, not a colon. These are binding on all people for all time. And of course, as you've heard me say so many times, and then from there, he says, he really takes us beyond the law, the commandments, into a life of high virtue. You've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. I say, if you even look with lust on a woman, you've committed this sin. You know, so it's, we've got to, again, in this time in which we're living, be very intent on living our lives in God. But without prayer, you can't do it. We need prayer. To have joy, you got to pray unceasingly. Because in prayer, again, we nurture intimacy with God. And it's beyond what we feel. I spoke to somebody the other day who felt so much consolation in prayer, and all of a sudden she's going through a very long period of nothing. God seemingly absent. even the desire to pray isn't there. And the question, you know, what's happening to me? What? Why is this? So that, you know, when you read the lives of the saints, they all went through this. It's all part of the deepening of our life in God. We're being put to the test. Life itself, we remember, we're in the exile. We're not home. And so, you know, God is always a mystery. We're always in that quest, always in that search for God, who's already found us, who's closer to us than we are to ourselves. But it's to mature to a place where you don't need to feel anything. It's just simply the knowledge of God, that I come from God, created by God, loved into life, created in His image and likeness, in beauty He created me, and I was born into a disordered world. We got disorder in our lives. It takes humility to even admit that, doesn't it?
Yep.
This is what people rebel against, such language. You know, you've got, well, you're disordered. Who's not disordered? Who's not dealing with some kind of disorder in life? Who isn't fighting against themselves, their own pride, their own inclination to be self-centered? I mean, isn't that a constant battle every day, to be God-centered? But when we taste and see the goodness of God, when we come to realize and believe, these are the questions. Do you believe? I guess it's the bottom line is, do you believe? You know, we're called what? To know God, to love God, to serve God. God has come to us. Christmas is the celebration of His inbreaking into history. The incarnation, He lays out the blueprint. He shows us His face, shows us how to live. And He comes to redeem us, to atone for our sins. And so it's extremely imperative in this day and this time that we, you know, I think one of the temptations, and we'll take a break, is that we can fixate so much on the church, talk about the church, the church, the church, but forget that what is the church's foundation, what's her center? It's God. Jesus is the head, we're the body. And so to fixate only on the body, in other words, my relationship with the church, but how do I speak about Christ? I always use the example, and then we'll take the break. But because you can't separate one from the other, so we have to, if we're in Christ, we're in the church, in His body, and we have a mission. We have to become the sacrament that mediates His grace, His mercy, His love, and His truth, a truth that will set us free. But it's for all of us to ask the question, how do we speak about Christ? Because the blind man, I find this story very fascinating. So when, you know, the blind man's calling out to Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me, or he's calling out to Him. And I might get, there's different accounts of the Lord healing or giving sight to a blind man. But the people are trying to keep him quiet, you know, don't bother him, you know, keep quiet. And he calls out all the more. And Jesus goes to him, what do you want me to do for you? And he says, I want to see. And so He gave him his sight. And then he went away. And then he was blind from the time he was born. And the people were saying, the Pharisees and the scribes, they were saying, who did this to you? Who gave you your sight? Because it was on the Sabbath. You know, this wasn't supposed to happen on the Sabbath. Somebody would do work, the work of healing. Can you imagine? Who did this to you? He said, well, that man they called Jesus. That man they called Jesus. And so they were harassing him. And Jesus heard that he was being harassed. And so he came at the end of the day. Jesus came to him, having heard that he had been harassed. And the point is that when he came, Jesus came, the man came, he came to know who Jesus was, and he had faith, and then became a follower of Jesus. And so it's no longer that man, they call Jesus, but it's he speaks now of Christ who truly abides within him. It comes from the deep recesses of the heart. And isn't that what needs to happen today? So it's everything, the church, the church, the church, the church. I remember the church, the big church is in heaven, church triumphant. We're the church in the battle. And there are powers and principalities and that want to divide and destroy, you know. Jesus, you know, says, Peter, I pray for you. You strengthen your brothers, the other apostles, because you need to know Satan means to sift you all like wheat. Strike the shepherd, the sheep scatter. So should it surprise us that we're in such turmoil? It doesn't have to be. If we're really speaking constantly in the name of our Lord, Christ Jesus, you know, so the point is, how do you speak his name? If it's that man out there they call Jesus. Now, even as from within the church, we get to speak of this person who came to us in the flesh to show us how to live, to lay down his life, redeem us, and atone for our sins, and then to send forth his spirit that we be infused with his life. And so it's we speak of this God we know because we've come to discover that he knows us. And in knowing us in our brokenness, in our woundedness, in our sinfulness, he loves us. But as he says, you know, I will always be faithful. Even if you're unfaithful, I remain faithful. But don't deny me, because if you deny me, I deny you. I have to respect your choice, your decision. Anyway, you know, going back to the dream, I hope the dream kind of just makes sense. It's but in a singular and unique way, the Holy Mother of God, ever faithful to the will of her Son, is calling us, truly calling us today, and she will assist us to remain faithful to the truth which alone will set us free. And for this, we truly have cause for joy. All right, so we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright.
Oh, hello, elves.
Hello, Santa.
Why are you singing?
Santa, we're practicing to sing on the Winds of Change Christmas program.
Oh, you silly elf. Winds of Change will be featuring the Christmas music of the Daughters of St. Paul.
Santa, can I sing with them?
You silly elf. Would you like to get a lump of coal in your stocking?
On Monday, December 25th, Christmas Day, from noon until 1, enjoy the Christmas music of the Daughters of St. Paul on Winds of Change on AM 750.
I would be really happy to sing.
You are a silly elf.
We are the students of St. Stan's Lacosta Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So just to kind of wrap up on that, the prayer is indispensable. And again, it's not so much about what we feel, but it's what we know. We come to the knowledge of God. We come from God, we go to God. Do we believe? And we choose to live in God, to keep his commandments, to seek always forgiveness. We live in a penitential way, right? Really, even though we have these are penitential seasons, Advent, Lent are penitential seasons, but every day there's this element of we have to be penitential always, because we're always in humility, in need of God's grace to attain to that high standard. We don't want to dumb it down. We live in a strange time.
Very strange.
Where everything is, we dumb everything down, even to the point that we're losing our work ethic. And you can see that in the society. But even in the church, isn't it, holiness is a work. To be holy, which is something we should, humility is what makes saints. What did we say the other day? Transferring that, we are the leaders that we have been waiting for. We are the saints that we have been waiting for. Because we keep saying, you know, do something. Was I saying that last week or the week before? You know, it's just, like we might, because with all this chaos and confusion and all this disorder that is, and blatant contradictions that go completely contrary to the gospel message and to what should characterize Christian behavior. Yes, of course, we are the first to say we're hypocritical. You know, before you take the plank out of your brother's eye, or the speck out of your brother's eye, take the plank out of your own. But civility and decency and kindness and courtesy and firmness and truth and manliness and womanliness, right? The beautiful complementary distinctions between man and woman, so necessary for the proper ordering of a society. If you even talk like this, what planet have you come from? Mm-hmm. You know, but it is a very, very strange time, and we've got to do as St. Paul says. We've got to pray unceasingly, rejoice, because we have Christ. And we got to speak from that, you know, that from that relationship. It's nurturing that relationship that goes beyond what we feel, but it's what we know, and this is a part of the maturation in the spiritual journey as we come to that place or that point where we don't have to feel. And even if it's, as Mother Teresa writes about this, Saint Therese of Lisieux, many of the saints write about that. Who was it? St. John of the Cross this past week, last week, or what was it? Last week, I think, his feast. Love it. But I love St. John of the Cross. He's one of my favorite. But in the thicket of suffering, that's where we grow, you know. And is it not, as a woman I was speaking to yesterday, a real suffering, real pain, feeling the absence of God, and having to remind her that, yes, but it's precisely in this that your faith is being put to the test, and the roots will go deeper, deeper, so deep that you don't, that you, like St. Therese said, I think she's the one who said, I'll be like a child's toy in the toy chest. And when the child comes and decides to play with the toy, the child will go for the toy. And so we wait on the child. She says, I will wait on Christ. I think it was St. Therese of Lisieux, wasn't it? There are so many different analogies that one can use. I use the being caught in the undertow of an ocean. Mm. When you're caught in that undertow and you're being sucked under, you just got to go with it. You don't fight it. You just go with it. It'll bring you back up. And so if we go through the desert, the dark or whatever, dark night, whatever it may be, but to be, to come to accept and to be at peace with not having to feel, knowing that I'm in the exile and that I'm going home, I've come from God, I go to God, I choose to live in God. Okay, so it's, can you believe it? We only got 10 minutes left. I don't think we've got time to read Barrington Bundy.
No.
So we'll have to do that tomorrow.
Yeah.
We will do that tomorrow, I promise. Promise, okay? But any commentary from you guys?
Like what you said, Father, about the undertow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so true, because I, you know, growing up, you know, you grow in the faith even to the day we die. We learn and we grow. in the faith, and we have that conversion. There's always that conversion every single day. And I would always ask God when something was taken away, like I felt like I was being stripped from this or that, you know, the stuff that you like, and there's nothing wrong with it, but I felt like, why do you take away what I most love?
Right.
And I was like fighting.
And what did he say? I want to know what he said.
Well,
what was the answer? What he said?
And his answer was, I have to be what you most love. It has to be him. He has to be number one. The detachment. I have to detach, and he strips everything away so that we make room. Just like now, we're in Advent, and we have to make room for him.
That's right. And isn't that the reality? I mean, really, in all reality, that is the reality, because life doesn't get easier.
No.
Where are we going?
Mm-hmm.
Where are we? Okay, so we're all 10 years apart. I happen to be the oldest here. So I'm 10 years, Tony's 10 years younger than me, and Christina is 10 years younger than Tony.
Wow.
And when we all met each other, we were 30 years younger than we are now.
Wow.
When you think about that, right?
Time flies.
Yeah.
We're only going in one direction.
That's.
And, and the body, unfortunately, you know, the reality is there's this physical deterioration.
Tell me about it, Father.
That brings us eventually into death, mm-hmm. that Passover from this life into the next. And nobody can avoid that. That is a reality for everybody. But so there's the physical deterioration. I mean, you know, I find it fascinating, really. And when I should I name names? I don't know. But you know, Dolly Parton. So I mean, there was an article the other day about how beautiful she is, and she is beautiful. But I mean, but
how as a person.
As a person, she really is. As a person, she really is.
Yes, yes.
But they were saying, you know, what good, she's in such great shape.
She's in better shape than them.
I thought, well, what did it take for her to, you know, maintain such a body, you know? She admits.
She's Dolly.
She's Dolly.
I mean, multiple. Dolly. Why would she, you know, multiple. I mean,
surgeries.
What's her name?
We got Madonna too. No.
Joan Rivers,
Joan,
you know,
Rivers,
died in, you know, having plastic surgery. She had millions of dollars that she put into trying to make herself look young, and she actually in her 80s, early 80s, I think she died when she was 81. But the more surgery she had, the worse she looked.
And you have to keep up with it, Father. You have to maintain; otherwise, it all falls down.
But it's falsehood.
It's,
you know?
it's a mask.
It doesn't change. It's a mask. It doesn't change the reality.
Because you remain who you are. It's in my own family. But it's like, you know, there's a beauty. There's when you age, there is a beauty about that. When you age gracefully.
Yeah, you say that when you're 30 years old, but when you're in your 70s.
If I can take a moment and just bring this back to prayer.
Bring it back to prayer.
I always, it's very easy to tell somebody, oh, well, pray. You know, do you pray? And we tend to use prayer sometimes as, okay, well, I'm going to ask God for this, and he better give it to me, because if not, then I'm done with him. But
that's true.
When you think of prayer.
That was very Chicago-like the way you said that, you know.
Yeah. I've heard this from many people, and I got to admit, I'm thinking about somebody right now who I know is one of
friend,
those.
It's a friend, right?
Yeah, it's a friend, yeah. It's a friend.
I thought,
who,
why did I think Al Capone when you said that, the way you said it, you know?
Nice, so, nice.
Anyway, go ahead.
But I had to even, this is something I found out through prayer also. It's a work. I mean, prayer is a work. You have to, like you say so often, live, breathe, eat. It's a work. So in prayer, God takes care of us. But it's not a matter of he's a genie and you rub and you say, I want this. And if you're not given something or you're taken – a different path is made for you, you have to keep doing.
It's
a work in progress.
Yes.
Again, to pray unceasingly, and this is, I guess, maybe because as we come to the end of the show, I think of the woman wrapped in silence, the Blessed Virgin Mary, I read this, it's a book, but it was a long poem called The Woman Wrapped in Silence. This is why I so insist on our young people in school becoming comfortable with silence. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, and I've said it before, they love the adoration.
Yeah.
But it's, prayer is, yes, of course, the rosary, Jesus taught us the Our Father, the Holy Masses, the highest act of prayer, everything flows from and into the Holy Mass, into the Divine Liturgy. Divine Liturgy, liturgy means work. Mm-hmm. It's the work of prayer, but it's entering into that sacrifice, offer your lives a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. And so it's living, and so unceasing prayer is really that constant surrendering of my life to God. So it's something you don't have to, there, no words need to be spoken. It's just the giving your, it's really the fiat of the Blessed, which is, by the way, the gospel today, the Annunciation, let it be done to me as you have said. And, you know, she said, well, how can this come about since I know not man? So we have questions. We may not have the answers. Well, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and hence the child to be born will be the Son of God. God come to us in the flesh. She ponders. The gospel says she ponders. She reflects. And isn't that prayer, you know, just to keep our eyes on God, again, knowing we've come from God, we go to God, and we choose to remain in God and let the Lord lead us and guide us. And yeah, we can ask for this or that or whatever, but it's more than the asking. It's just the being, to be still and know that I am God. And isn't there nothing more consoling than to know that God has my back? I may not get what I want, and eventually I'm going to die, but he can do what only he can do, bring life out of death. Well, we'll end there, okay?
Yeah.
So may Almighty God bless all of you, and we'll be back tomorrow, God willing, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
It's time to be stirred. The time is now.